very long, but I want to give you a word from heaven if God will help me. Now, I'm going to confess something to you before I preach. I don't know if I've preached this here or not, but I know God told me to this morning. Amen. And we sing Amazing Grace over and over and over, and it still blesses us. And we sung more than one this morning over and over, and it still blessed us. And God can make his word fresh.
Amen.
And the real truth of the matter is, most of y'all done forgot what I said last time I was here anyhow.
Preach on.
I pastored before. Get out of church and people talk about how good church was. Man, it was good today. I'll tell you right now, what the preacher preached on, I don't know, but it was good. So I'm trusting and believing that most of y'all have done forgot this anyhow if I have preached it before, but I know God told me to. And I'm going to obey the Lord this morning. Amen. Somebody needs this word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. I tried to get a hold of something else. God wouldn't let me. Amen. I've got three brand new messages, and God never would let me touch none of them. So we're just going to obey the Lord this morning. Mark chapter number 4, Mark chapter number 4, and verse number 35. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. If you love your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. That always stands out to me.
Amen.
You better be careful how you sail those little ships following you. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to the other, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for these folks. And God, that are in church this morning, Heavenly Father, Lord, I know there's hearts that need this message because you wouldn't let me leave it alone. Lord, I pray, God, you might anoint me one more time to preach in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Heavenly Father, I love you this morning. Help your people. God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture, it's become very dear to my heart. Amen. And for those of you that preach or teach, you know this, and even sing. Sometimes the greatest songs and the greatest sermons, the greatest truth that help you the most come out of the darkest places of your life. Amen. And may I tell you that this message came out of the darkest place of my entire life. Amen. I'm about to mention a forbidden word, but y'all hang with me. This word was forbidden in the church for years, but I was struggling with depression. Now, I need y'all to know that I was still preaching, I was still praying, I was still studying, I was still witnessing, I was still tithing, I was still giving the missions, I was being as faithful as I knew how to be, and I was struggling with even getting up in the morning. There's an attack from hell on my mind, and my wife even said to my family, I think he wants to die. And what she didn't know was, she is right. Now, I never got suicidal because it's God gave the life and it ain't mine to take. Come on, but I did get to where I long for heaven more than I long to be here. Eh? Because I knew that over yonder, everything be different, amen. I knew that, and I got into a tough place and a dark place, and I went to church because I was supposed to.
Go ahead.
And I prayed because I was supposed to. And I read my Bible because it was the right thing to do. And you say, well, I've always been told you ought not do anything out of obligation. Honey, if obligation's all you got, listen, you just do it out of obligation and be faithful till the sun shines again. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I was doing.
Amen.
And how many of you know when you're at your breaking point, it don't take much? And I was. Lord have mercy. My wife was doing a flooring job for the church I grew up in. Blakely wanted to go outside, play on the playground. And that playground had a crow's nest. She crawled up in that crow's nest. She said, Daddy, come up here and play with me. And I raised my head to tell her I couldn't. And I found her at my feet. She said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I forgot you can't walk. And she looked up, big old tears was coming down that little face. She said, and it makes me so, so sad. And then she said this. She said, they told me in Sunday school that Jesus could make people who couldn't walk, walk again. She said, Daddy, why won't Jesus do that for you? Have you ever sat and wondered, why won't Jesus do it for me?
Go ahead. Amen.
Y'all might as well take off your religious cloak this morning. God knows what we are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And don't you know there's seasons in your life when you go to church and you hear everybody sing and shout about answered prayers and you've been praying your guts out? And things just got worse, and you sat in church and wonder, why won't the Lord do it for me?
Come on.
Amen.
And I was trying to hold myself together. She said, Daddy, I'm going inside to get me something to drink. I'll be back in a minute. She went inside that youth center, Brother David, and the church I grew up in has a rock altar where people go and pray. And I normally don't go in there because it's under a shed and it's covered in pea gravel, and then I'll get stuck in it and just get mired up and spin and spin and spin. But that day I didn't care. I pulled all the way in there and I said, I'll get out when I get out or when somebody finds me. I got desperate.
Go ahead.
None of us like to be in desperate places. But as a child of God, they're good places to be because that's when God's about to show you something. And I said, Lord, you have met with people on these sacred grounds over and over and over. They have found help. They have found refuge. They have found an answer in the throne room on these sacred grounds. And Lord, if you've ever met with me in my life, if you've ever spoke to me, I need you to speak to me today. I'm doing my best to be faithful. I'm doing my best to do right. But Lord, I'm tired. I'm weary. I feel like I'm about to drown. And I need some help. And I don't need it tomorrow. I don't need it next week. I need it right now. And I ain't leaving till I get it.
Amen.
And I prayed a few more minutes. And I lifted my head. And my Bible fell open to Mark chapter number 4. And I got to verse number 37. Where the Bible said that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now that means full of water. Y'all understand that, don't you?
Amen.
And I read that, and the Lord said, read that again. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And I said, Lord, I ain't getting it. And the Lord said, read it again. It's been a long time. Some of y'all ain't going to like this, but it's the truth. It's been a long time, even as a preacher, since I had read the Word of God and got anything.
Go ahead. Come on. Rich.
Just being honest. The Lord said, read it again. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I ain't getting it. And he said, son, what's supposed to happen to a full ship? And I said, it's supposed to sink, Lord. And the Lord said, exactly. But somehow, by the grace of God, they were sailing on. Ah, glory to God. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the miracle before the calm. The miracle before the calm. The only miracle we ever talk about in this text is when he stepped out and said, peace be still, and there was a great calm. But according to what I just told you, there is a miracle before the calm. I want you to see, first of all, there's fierce adversity. Fierce adversity in the will of God. They were in the ship, Brother David, because the Lord told them to get in the ship. Amen.
Amen.
They were in the storm because the Lord sent them in that direction. Amen. And there's people in this room that you're in the will of God as far as you know this morning, and the waves of adversity have beat against your ship. And you feel like life has nearly beat you to death. Fierce adversity in the will of God. We struggle with that sometimes. Because here's the deal. When people that ain't faithful have hard times, I understand that. You reap what you sow, right? That's not hard for me to figure out. But when God's choice saints suffer the most, that's hard for us. I'm gonna be real with you this morning. I got a friend in Easley, South Carolina, that's more like a sister. Her name is Stacy. She's got cancer. She's covered up with it. She went into remission one time, and now cancer's back. And they say the treatment can suppress it for a little while, but we can't stop it. You need to be ready to leave. Now, Brother Tim, if she was half in and half out, I could understand that. But even in the midst of her cancer, she has never missed one single and she's praised God all the way through it and got a husband and two children. The cancer has spread to her, all over her body, and it's made it to where it's difficult for her to walk. And she was helping with the Awana ministry at the church I grew up in. And she said to my mama Wednesday night, when they finally got her into the youth center, she said, I can't teach my class tonight, but I'm going in the kitchen to sit down. And you give me something I can do sitting there. I'll be honest with you, preacher. I've struggled with that. She would have that kind of fierce adversity in the will of God.
Amen.
Sold out. Never heard her speak one harsh word about nobody. Never seen her call any division always seen her serve, never wanted recognition, and she's in the storm of her life. I'm talking about adversity so fierce that you're laying in your bed praying for your husband's new wife that are going to raise your babies, that God would send her to raise your babies. I don't understand that. She's in the ship with the Lord. Are y'all hearing me?
Come on. Amen. Come on,
preacher. Fierce adversity. You know what that leads to? You become full of anxiety. They started asking, Master, tarriest thou not that we perish?
Come on.
Storms will make us ask stupid questions.
Amen.
Like, Master, tarriest thou not that we perish? Honey, can I tell you that the storm's going to cause you to be full of anxiety, and you better decide what you believe about him before the storm shows up, because if you wait till you're in the middle of it, you might end up in a mess. And they asked, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were full of anxiety. And there might be somebody this morning, you're doing your best to be faithful in the will of God. You're in the ship with the Lord. Hey, listen, you're settled and faithful as you know how, but it's dark and it's stormy and there's all kinds of anxiety in the depths of your soul. Oh, my. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Spent my life doing what I'm doing right now. It's all I've ever known. Started preaching when I was 12. I'm 36. I've preached more in my life than not. And I ain't always been perfect. But I've tried to be faithful. Can I tell y'all, and even this morning, I wasn't feeling it. Even this very morning, I didn't have the strength to tell the devil nothing. Pain has become a constant friend. And when you get down physically, if you ain't careful, that'll affect you spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A ship is fine sailing in the water, but when water gets in the ship, oh, and it's a battle to keep everything that's going on around me to do with me and my health. To keep it from getting in me. And there's people in this room, the trouble around you has already got in you. And you're full of anxiety. And you're just waiting to sink. But there's not just fierce anxiety. They're not fierce adversity. They're not just full of anxiety. They failed to pay attention. Say, what do you mean? Well, it took me reading that verse four times to get it, that they should have already sunk. Now, I realized that storm was awful, and it was probably scary, and it was dark and very difficult. But I can't help but wonder if it wouldn't have helped somebody's faith if somebody would have realized, hey, y'all, this ship's full of water, and we should have already gone under. But somehow, by the grace of God, we've said, oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, maybe you ain't heard, peace be still, but honey, you should have done gone down a long time ago. If it's up to the devil, if it's up to your flesh, you'd have gone down a long time ago. But somehow, by the grace of God, four ships holding on. You've sat on. Thank God. We should have already gone under, but he's on board. Hallelujah. And listen to me. He's on board, but he's asleep. Anybody ever felt like the Lord went to sleep on you? Here's the thing about it. When somebody's sleeping, they ain't audible. Hey, man, they ain't talking to you. You can't hear them. And when somebody's sleeping, they ain't active. They ain't moving. But did you know the Bible said that by him all things consist? His very presence was what was keeping that ship afloat. And while they could sail on, and just by him being there, glory to God, the Lord spoke to me at that rock altar, and he said, boy, I was doing more asleep than they were awake.
Amen.
Hey, you ain't got to hear him. He ain't got to be moving.
Amen.
Just as long as he's on board, you can sail on. Have the grace of God.
Amen.
Hey, hey. Some of you been waiting on peace be still so long, you failed to realize you should have gone under already, and you've sailed on. Hey, hey. Can I be honest with you this morning? Hey, my ship's full this morning. My wife's ship is full, but we should have done gone under. And somehow, we've sailed on by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, people joke about preachers getting their messages from their wives. And I did get this point from her. I was going down the road after I preached this for the first time. And she said, honey, have you ever noticed that he was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship? I said, yeah, what about it? She said, that would have been the first part of the ship to take on water.
Amen.
Now, we know that Jesus was 100% God and yet 100% man.
Amen.
As a man, Brother Tim, if he'd slept in a ship full of water, he'd have drowned. But evidently, he don't just walk on top of it. He just sleep on top. So I said that to say this. Whatever you're going through, whether you can see him walking or whether he's asleep, he's on top of it, neighbor.
Amen.
The Lord is still in charge. Amen.
Amen.
And then the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, that means whatever you're going through, I've been there first. It was on me first. Thank God, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Whatever you're going through, honey, he's been there first. It came on him first. Thank God he knows. Hallelujah. Sail on, full ship and all. I'm to my last point. Not only was there fierce adversity, were they full of anxiety that they failed to pay attention, they should have already sunk, but there would be a fruitful advancement. He said, let us go unto the other side. And after that word side in your King James Bible is a period. Whatever God says, whatever he promises, that's where it is, period, friend. And I ain't sailing on what I can see and what I can feel. I'm sailing on what he said. There's things in my life that don't feel right, and there's purposes that I can't see. But I ain't sailing on what I feel this morning. And I ain't sailing on what I can see. I'm sailing on what he said.
Amen.
And his word always comes to pass. Hallelujah. But they would eventually get to the other side, just like he said. And when they get there, according to Mark chapter number 5, there's a maniac of Gadara. Y'all do understand that the chapter divisions were put in by the translators. So here's what that means. The story is bigger than it appears. It does not end in Mark chapter number 4. Can I tell you this morning, your story is bigger than it appears. And there's things going on that you can't see. And they get to the shore. And the Bible said in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 6 that that maniac came running from afar off. Here's what that means. He was running before they ever landed. I need y'all to know something. These things on the other side of the storm, you ain't even got to the other side yet, and God's already put things in motion that you can't see.
Amen.
And he run. Why would he be running before they ever landed? Can I give you some sanctified Jonathanology? I believe with all my heart, Mr. Juan, he saw it. I believe he saw that storm and he watched it fill full of water and he said, boy, these people are going to go under. And somehow by the grace of God, he said, look at there. They're still sailing. And then he seen a man step out, speak three words. And everything went back to normal and the sun started shining again. And he said, I don't know how this sailed on, but I believe it's got something to do with that man. And if he can calm that storm for them, maybe, just maybe he can calm the storm in me.
Yeah.
I don't know all the reasons for all of my storms. Just being truthful. Just being honest. Last time I was here, there he comes in right now. Last time I was here, Brother Matt told me he was going to get me a metronome for Christmas so I could keep time when I sung. Now, he was just joking. We know that. But here's the truth of the matter. As I've gotten older, the spasms with my cerebral palsy in my throat have gotten worse. And I love to sing, but it is now a struggle. There's people in this room, from a spiritual aspect, you want to sing, but it's a struggle. And there are things in my life that are so much harder to do than what they used to be. My back has gotten so bad that when I lay down in the bed, I lose my breath.
Bless him, Lord.
And if I'm awake, I'm hurting. I ain't telling y'all that for sympathy. I'm telling y'all that so that you know that I know what a full ship is.
Amen.
And I don't know all the reasons for my storm. But the Lord did let me see a few just the other day. I met a young preacher who told me about a young man, 19 years old, named Colton. I'm closing with this, and we're going to do business with the Lord and then go eat. He told me about this young man who was a football star, a high school football star in Indiana, and he was doing a play, Mr. Juan, and somebody hit him wrong, and it broke his neck. He just had surgery to where he could regain the use of his arms, but for years he could not move anything but his head. It's a horror story. His family put him in that nursing home and left him there. They live a little over an hour away and hardly ever come to see him. And my friend had been going in there doing ministry and trying to talk to Colton. And Zach said he went in one day and Colton said, "Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but with all due respect, you don't understand me. You don't know where I sit. You don't know my struggles. You can't even begin to imagine. So if you want me to listen, then you bring me somebody. You bring me somebody that sits where I sit. And you let them tell me about the goodness of God. And help me make sense of this. And then maybe I'll listen." He told me that story in a meeting in Florida. I sat at the table with tears running down my face. He said, when that happened a week ago, I didn't know anybody in a wheelchair. But I left that nursing home and I started praying. And it's a week later and here you are. And I said, when do we leave? So about a month ago, we got in a car and me and Jesse and Blakely and my friend Zach rode 7 hours to Madison, Indiana. We went in that nursing home and I'm being honest with y'all, the smell was so bad it might take your breath. And he's in there with all these old people, most of which are out of their minds. And we went in his room, and he's sitting there by himself, except for his roommate was there, who's out of his mind. You can't talk to him. He makes no sense. And Zach said, "Hey, Colton." And he spoke to Zach and said, "How are you?" and stuff. And then he looked at me and said, "And who are you?" And I smiled and said, "I'm the one you've been asking for, son." And he said, "Oh." We sat down, and he's had a lot of people leave him in his life, and so I knew I couldn't just go in and shove the gospel right down his throat. And so we played checkers. Probably the most important game of checkers I've ever played. Just got to know one another and stuff. And we finished playing checkers. He beat the brakes off me. I ain't never seen nobody like it. And then he looked up as he put up his checkerboard and he said, "Do you ever ask yourself, why did God do this to me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you have any answers?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, tell me something, because I'm dying here." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Did you ever think about God before you broke your neck?" He said, "No." He said, "I was raised Catholic," but he said, "When I say raised Catholic, I mean that we went to Mass on Christmas and Easter, but that was all." He said, "We never said the blessing. We never went to church. I've never read the Bible. I had to start at Adam and go forward with this guy. He didn't know anything." I said, "Okay." I said, "So you never thought about God before you broke your neck?" He said, "No." I said, "What about now?" He started crying. He said, "Every day of my life." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because there's got to be something more than just this. And there's got to be a way for me to make sense of this." I said, "So let's go over this." I said, "You never thought about God before you broke your neck. Now you think about him every day." He said, "Yes." And I'm skipping several things because this conversation was hours long. I said, Could it be that God loved you enough to take your legs to keep you out of hell? Now, what happened next? Him and the devil fought. We got him now. Because he said, okay, but I'm the one that never thought about God. And you've been preaching since you were 12 years old. And best I can tell, all you've ever done is serve this good God we're talking about. And you're in constant pain, and you can't tie your shoes, and you can't walk across the floor. What did you ever do? I said, well, I asked you, could it be that God loved you enough to take your legs to keep you out of hell? He said, yes. I said, well, you said that you wouldn't listen, and that somebody like you came that sits where you sit. So my next question is, could it be that God loved you enough to take my legs to keep you out of hell? He looked at us and he said, I'm hemmed in, boys. I can't go no further. And he bowed his head. He had a tray on his wheelchair, and I began to watch tears hit that tray while we prayed. And can I tell y'all, there's plenty of days that I want out of a storm. But that day, I've never been so glad for a full ship. My God in heaven, stopped outside that nursing home, and I looked in that boy's window, and I told the devil, you are a liar. And somebody is going to see Jesus because of your full ship. I'm going to try to go back in the next few weeks. I said to him, Madison, listen, Colton, I know you've had a lot of people in your life leave you that said they'd be there. I said, you're my brother now, and I ain't leaving you, son, and I'll be back to see you again in a few weeks. And I hugged him, and he said, preacher, I hope you can, but if something happens where you can't, I'll see you again. Somebody one day, somebody, I waited 36 years. That's the first person on American soil that I've ever led to God and was sitting where I sit. Somebody one day is going to see Jace, full ship and all, and they're going to say, I see Jesus. Jesus. My ship is just as full, and they ain't nothing got no better, but he saw Jesus. How much is the soul actually worth? Oh, our soul's worth by health, full ship and all. Our souls weren't that financial storm you're in. Our souls weren't that depression that you waiting on the Lord to bring you out of. Hey, is somebody seeing Jesus? My friend Matt's been through so much. I've lost count, son, of the times that I asked the Lord to deliver you and make everything better. But the world seen plenty of people praise Jesus in the sunshine. But if they can watch somebody full ship and all, somehow sail on by the grace of God. Oh, if they could see Jesus because somebody sailed on with a full ship. I wish things had been better and easier, Tisha, but I've watched how you stood by Matt, and I've seen Jesus. God have mercy. Is it worth a full ship for somebody to see Jesus? Oh, Lord, you know what that storm did? It blew them right in the center of the will of God where they could find somebody that needed Jesus. The miracle before the calm. You waiting on peace be still. So am I. But we should have already gone under, honey. And somehow, we've sailed on, and people have saw Jesus.
Amen.
With our full ship and all. Y'all come sing one more.